Welcome back, my friends, to the party time that never ends. It is the Charlotte Soccer Show. I'm your host, Danny Brams, and it is wonderful to be with you on a Sunday. Charlotte FC has recorded five straight clean sheets, but they have yet to get a lot of points out of those clean sheets, unfortunately, because they can't score goals. We're here the morning after another second straight 0-0 draw for the crown, this time against Philadelphia. I'm repping my Columbia 2022 kit, feeling very good about it because I got Kerwin Vargas on the mind. I really thought he was going to score last night. So at the pregame tailgate at Hot Fly Brewing Company, I was stopped by the Rare and Retro tent and I was like, hey, what do y'all got? They had a nice Kerwin jersey I'm wearing. If you can see it on YouTube, if you're listening on the audio only, just imagine Danny Brams in a beautiful red Columbia jersey. It was rough last night at times, but it was also great at times. And we're going to decode the presser. We're going to do a post-game show decoding the presser style. I like to do it. The people seem to like it. So here we go. We will get to those pressers in a moment. I have not listened to them, but we will get there. I want to show some things first. Again, thanks for watching us on YouTube. Please subscribe to the channel. If you're watching this and you haven't subscribed, why not? I mean, just subscribe. Just hit that sub button. It doesn't cost you anything, and it makes us feel better than ever. But we're looking right now at match ratings here on the screen for the starting 11 plus the three subs. You can see the highest rating for Kalina. Obviously, he had a hell of a game, made a point-blank reaction save early in the first half that kept this thing at a 0-0. Definitely that goal would have changed the match for sure. We see some really nice ratings for the back line. We see a 7 rating for Nikola Pekovic. We see Westwood and Diani both rating above a 7, which is nice. Unfortunately, our attacking three of Tavares, Vargas, and Ajimong all rating low. Yuri, the lowest of the low, but none of them hit the 7 themselves. Rough night for all three of those guys. None of them had a shot on target. Patrick Ajimong had a decent penalty shout at one point, I think, but they pretty quickly waved it off, and VAR had no reason to change that. So Patrick had a couple flashes, had a couple nice moments for sure, but wasn't to be for him last night against Philly. He showed some flashes of brilliance, though. I think it's a little bit of a harsh rating. 6.7, maybe 6.7 is about right. Who knows, right? But right, one last thing before we get into the pressers, I just want to bring this up. It's kind of the whole glass half empty, glass half full situation for the crown. If you look at this chart, which shows Charlotte FC after 15 matches has 13 goals allowed, that's pretty good, let me tell you, especially in this league. In fact, it's tied for best in the Eastern Conference with Columbus, and Charlotte has played one more match than Columbus has. So they get the nod as best defense in the league right now, about what are we, approaching 40% of the way through the season, almost all-star break time. And we will definitely be talking about that in coming weeks as well, almost League's Cup break time. So even though we're quite a bit of a ways into the season, there's actually still quite a long ways to go, still 6 months left in this season. So don't get too comfortable. I switched the chart now. If you're watching us, you can see now Charlotte all of a sudden went from the top of this list to the bottom of the list because I switched it from goals against in the East to goals for in the East. And you can see we are tied for second worst with Chicago and New England has 9. New England, it's really rough to be New England. Sadly, one of those 9 against New England was scored against Charlotte, but that is what it is. You can also see, like, if you look at all the teams at the bottom of the goals for chart, none of them are the worst 6-7 teams in goals for are all out of the playoff picture, except for Charlotte FC, who are holding strong in 7th inside the playoff boundary for now in the table. Not even in the play-in game, which we know how those can go. So speaking of the play-in game, we got Red Bulls midweek for Charlotte FC. It's another double game week. The grind, the May grind just keeps on grinding here at MLS. And so second straight double game week. Going to be interesting for the crown to go to New York Red Bulls, which if you look over my right shoulder here on the YouTube channel, you can see I got the playoff towel that they gave out at the watch party last year that commemorates one of the worst nights, sadly, in Charlotte FC history. But that all is what it is. There's going to be more to talk about as the week goes on. MLS is looking really good. Some crazy stuff last night in terms of Miami winning on the road, even despite everyone being pissed about Messi and Suarez not traveling. RSL comes back from like a 3-goal down deficit to tie 3-3. RSL, man, it just, you cannot kill Real Salt Lake. It's absolutely insane what they've been doing. Cincinnati and Toronto played an all-timer match. Lots of stuff to talk about in MLS, and we may crank out an MLS roundup episode also. But for now, just want to talk about the crown and want to listen to what the people who participated in the match said last night. So without further ado, I guess we can get to Dean Smith here, and let's go.
I just said to the players there that, you know, they're disappointed in the dressing room. They're looking a little bit glum, and there's no more disappointed than me that we haven't got 3 points tonight. But that's our best performance this season. That's the most control we've had in the game. We've got into
That's our best performance this season. If you say so, Dino. If you say so.
We've got areas. We've had chances. We've had opportunities. Sometimes you have to give the opposition credit for the way they defended their box as well, which I thought they defended really well. But you saw the difference that a little bit of quality makes when Abada comes on. He cuts inside and makes the goalkeeper work, and we probably didn't work the goalkeeper enough tonight. Yeah, no, I've had a touch of vertigo once before that, and I just felt like I was going a little bit dizzy, so I decided to sit down and let Miles get up, but I felt okay after 5 minutes.
I did notice that. It was kind of weird, not weird, but just kind of different to see Dino sitting down there on the bench there mid-game, but that explains it. He had a touch of the vertigo, and we trust Miles Joseph, obviously, to stand up and run things for a few minutes, certainly, if not a whole game if he needed to. As far as Abada coming on, man, I wish Abada could have started. We talked to Dino on Thursday, and he told us that he's not going to risk him if there's any chance. So I don't think he felt Abada was up for more than maybe the 20-minute cameo that he got. But he was effective in that 20 minutes, and hopefully he'll be ready to start against Red Bulls because he does offer a different option. And when he whipped that shot, Abada had probably our best chance. We had five Charlotte FC had 4 shots on goal, I believe, one from Privet, one from Pekovic, one from Abada, and one from Scotty Arfield. Not good when Abada and Arfield are the subs, and there you've got half your shots on goal, obviously, but that happens. But Abada's like left footer was pretty spicy and nice and could have gone in, but unfortunately he shot it right at the keeper. So what can you do?
So, Coach, earlier this week you told me you run into a lot of snakes. How did you feel about dealing with this bunch of snakes?
Listen, they're a strong team, big team. You know, I said in the week they scored a lot of goals from set pieces. So we restricted them to only 2 or 3 corners, I think, and defended them well. You know, they had one big chance where I think they've hit a crossfield ball far post and lads headed it back across, and Cali was called upon to make a good save. And then I think Privs gave the ball away in the penalty box, and they had another chance, and Adil got a really good block. But I felt we dealt with their, you know, the balls over the top that they like to play really well. I thought our back line was really good. I thought JP played really well on the switch of play. So defensively again, and I just said that to the players. Now, there's not many teams that go for a whole month without conceding a goal. And, you know, 5 clean sheets. They've got to be proud of that, but disappointing because we deserve to go and win the game.
I mean, he sums it up right there perfectly. Proud but disappointed, if you can take that double emotion. I always love the way a manager, it's kind of like a golfer. Like if you ask a good golfer about their round, and they can like recount every single shot that happened. And it's similar with like a soccer manager. Like he knows, he can remember all those details just off the top of his head of all those chances. It was a great save by Kalina for sure. Kind of a reaction point blank save that we needed. I mentioned that earlier. And yeah, I mean, the defense did well. We did a really good job of limiting their set pieces. So there's a lot to be happy about and a lot to build on. But I would hope that some folks here in the room might start pressing Dino a little bit on why we can't create these chances. And I have a feeling of what he's going to say, but we'll find out.
They got their crate yesterday, so they're all very happy, and I'm happy to go to keep, you know, if we keep playing, keeping clean sheets, I'm happy to keep going and getting wine for them. But Ashley Westwood did just say to me, he said, maybe we'll get you a bottle of wine if we scored a goal.
Dino's got jokes. Dino's got jokes. Love a wine storyline for sure.
No, not the officiating. I just felt our final ball, I think we started the game really well, and it might have been Kerwin who went through and just wanted a lower cross underneath them. And, you know, it's ballooned up a little bit over the bar, and that's where our quality just has to get a little bit better.
Thanks, coach.
Cheers, thank you.
Hey, do you think the defenses are catching up a little with Patrick now, with more tape on him and trying to figure out how to defend him better?
I think teams are getting aware of the threat that Patrick is, and you could see today that he occupied both centre-backs. They were both, you know, looking out for him all the time. I thought he probably needed a little bit more protection today, because I thought some of the tackles on him were, you know, I think on other players probably get given, but because of Patrick's size, I think perception, you know, unfortunately doesn't give the same sort of fouls. But, you know, what he does, if he's occupying two players, then there's going to be space for others to run into. You know, and that's what I keep saying to the other players, that, you know, if he occupies two centre-backs, there's going to be space in between them and the full-backs. And we used that a couple of times today, especially in the first half, a couple of times Nico got in. And in the second half, we got in there a couple of times. But then it's just that final connection ball, that little presentation that you need to go and score the goal. We saw one where it was set for, you know, Diani to go and hit one on his right foot. That's the sort of presentation you need, and then we need the finish.
Totally agree there with Dino as far as the fouls against Patrick. I think that, unfortunately, referees just see a bigger player like Patrick, who's just, you know, dominant size, and they just think, oh well, he's probably faking or whatever. Like, how could he get pushed over? You know, like, that couldn't have been a foul. He should have stayed up. I don't know. I don't know exactly what they're thinking. I don't like it. I do think there's like an inherent sort of a subconscious bias that these referees have against Colin Fowles and Patrick. I certainly thought that he was nicked in the box in the feet while he was dribbling. I thought it was a penalty. I don't know if anyone will ask about it. I don't think it was a bang. I don't think it was a bang on penalty, or, you know, but I do think it was a penalty. So who knows? I also think that Dean Smith is right about the whole, if he's occupying two guys, then someone else needs to fill in the space. It's like basketball, right? If you're double teamed, someone's open. That's certainly true in soccer and hoops. And, you know, for better or for worse, a lot of the openings fell to Tavares, who I thought was active and was doing his best, but he wasn't super effective. Would have just absolutely loved if we'd had Abada and Vargas to go, because Vargas likes to play on the left, you know, vamos parcero, but he ends up starting on the right, so Tavares can be on the left, and then when Abada comes in, you know, they flip-flop it. Actually, Abada came in for Vargas, but when Tiger came in, they flip-flopped, excuse me. But I think that it's just, you know, and Nicola played pretty well. I saw Nicola get in there, and Nicola had one really nice chance that he just skied over the bar. Like you said, he ballooned it up. Like he's leaning back instead of leaning over, and it's frustrating when you only get a few chances like that and you can't capitalize on them. It starts to drag on you a little bit. And I'm coming around to this mindset, this sort of take where, you know, I saw a friend put on social media today, like, you know, I'd rather have Miami's 21 goals allowed, but 38 scored. And I think that's probably right. You know, like I don't mind. The clean sheets are nice, but I wouldn't mind conceding a few goals as long as we were scoring a bunch of goals. It's MLS. Like, it's a league where scoring is king. So I get the quality and the excitement and the ability to build and then getting the free wine, you know, from the clean sheets. But it's tough to get excited about it. It's just not something to, like, get super pumped up about.
Changes you made at halftime?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I felt.
Let me just push back on that. You know, no disrespect to the questioner, but I don't agree with the question. I thought that we were way better in the first half than the second half. But let's see what Dino has to say.
That we emptied the middle of the pitch a little bit too much. You know, I think our fullbacks were always going to be our out ball against them, because they play a diamond. So, you know, we want to, you know, get our fullbacks out, but then we needed one to show and a couple to go, but we ended up having three going all the time, and, you know, we never had that little bounce pass that can open them up.
For the substitutions, bringing in Scott and Tiger, what did you see at that time?
Yeah, well, I thought Yuri had probably had one of his better games today as well, one of his best games today. I thought it was really impressive, but 70 minutes, it was a lot more humid today. A little bit warmer, so I just felt the change and some fresh legs on would give us that that advantage. Tiger's been a threat in all the games that he's come on. You know, I was looking around at the bench, and you know, I've got Ben Bender in my head and Abada, but they're coming back from injuries. But you know, Scotty's got the quality that can actually create something. He created a couple of chances and had a couple of shots himself, so I felt he might be the answer for us.
That is really interesting to hear him drop Ben Bender's name there. You get the feeling that maybe at some point Bender's going to be that sub instead of Scott Arfield, which I thought Arfield was really nice when he came on. He did some really nice things, kept us, created a few chances, helped create that really, that late chance for Abada, which was nice. We had a couple nice counters that could have done something in the final 10 minutes of that match, but just didn't happen. It's also interesting to hear him note that he thought it was Jurie's best game because, you know, we look on this match rating sheet again, and Jurie's the lowest rated player on the pitch. So I think that has to do with just some statistical stuff. Because he had the ball more than most guys, he ends up losing the ball more than most guys. And so then that hurts his like statistical rating. But I can see sort of what Dean's saying about eye test as far as Jurie playing really well, because he did pass the eye test. There was some moments where I was like, oh, Jurie's in there, and we would have loved to see it, but unfortunately just didn't lead to anything. So you know, when you ask Dean, like, why'd you sub in Arfield, Smalls, and Abad? It's like, because those were the only three guys we had available, really. Like, I get it. I think Bender was a candidate, but never a really super serious candidate to come in. But it's nice to know that he is probably, maybe not for midweek and Red Bulls, but maybe. But certainly by next Sunday at Atlanta, you would expect to see Ben Bender making his MLS debut, 2024 MLS debut. If not against Red Bulls, then against Atlanta. And I think Dean definitely just signaled that big time with what he just said right there.
I think they both come together at the moment. Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. I think, you know, we've seen in other games when you give Patrick chances, he can go and score goals. Nico showed his quality the other week against Portland, so they've got the quality in there. It's just been needs to become a regular occurrence. So it's a little bit of, you know, the creation, but I thought we created really good moments today without probably getting the finish. Cheers.
The club tonight had a lot of quick transitions.
I mean, I gotta say it. If he's gonna keep saying it, I'm gonna keep saying it, which is, you know, talking about, you know, we created a lot of chances but didn't finish them. It just, I get it. I know why he's saying it, but it starts to get old and it starts to ring hollow a little bit. So we need goals.
In possession, just seemed to be quicker. Is that the Dean game that they're trying to get? It seemed like we saw that tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that, you know, any time we won the ball back, they would be at full stretch and it would be a good opportunity then to go and score a goal. You know, as I said earlier, you know, Patrick occupies two defenders, so there's a lot more room when you actually break on them transitions. So when we win the ball back, we want to try and score as quickly as possible. You know, if we win the ball back and they've got 11 men behind the ball, then our job is to stay on the ball and open up little spaces and pockets by using our patterns. But it's certainly a tactic we want to try and get better at.
Okay, and then just some stats from tonight. You have 11 corner
kicks. We definitely want to get better at turning counterattacks into goals. I agree, Dino.
Working the goalkeeper a little bit more. I think we only worked the goalkeeper three or four times. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that we need to do better. As I said, presenting opportunities for others, I think that's a big thing that we need to do. But, you know, Addy was inches off a goal in the first half from a set piece, and Andrew Privitz had a free header from a corner as well. So, you know, he was getting in the right areas and connecting at times, but unfortunately it wasn't to be.
See, that's a really productive answer for me because I totally agree. And I think that's what Dino needs to be hammering home. I know he's trying and it just needs to keep happening. Dean needs to hammer it. Miles Joseph needs to hammer it. Pavanu Ka needs to hammer it. Christian Fuchs needs to hammer it. Any other assistant coach I'm not thinking of needs to hammer it. Joe LeBoux needs to hammer it. Will Martin needs to hammer it. Everybody needs to hammer. Take some shots, guys. Like, you can't score if you don't work the keeper. Like, just fire. We were playing against a backup keeper, the Philadelphia guy. They have an all-star, Andre Blake, who's like world class, and he's been out for a few weeks. We didn't really work their keeper much at all. I mentioned the only four shots on goal. And there should have probably, with the 70-30 possession we had, we should have had 10 shots on goal. So work the keeper, work the keeper, work the keeper. And that's the way out of your goal drought for sure. I think Dino knows that. It's just a matter of getting the message across at this point.
I keep doing the right things. You know, our performance levels are high. I thought they were today. I think our squad's getting stronger now with the injuries coming back. We've got Ben Bender coming back after 7 months. We've got Abada back today. So our squad's coming back together again, which is really, really important for the next couple of games.
Another Ben Bender shout out. Pay attention.
I think that's a credit to the players, but also the supporters and the atmosphere that they create here. I've said before many times that, you know, they become our 12th man at times, and you know, there's a really good feel about the club at the moment. And I think we're probably 7 or 8 points shy of where we should be. You know, some of the away performances have deserved more, but certainly here, I think there's a really good connection between the squad and the supporters. Cheers.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Woody. Thank you very much, Dean. Hey, the supporters turned this place into a fortress. It's all over. It's around the stadium. It's not just in any specific sections. It's everywhere. You know, I was sitting in a new section last night that I'd never sat in before. With a shout out to my friend Luke, who hooked me up with a seat next to him, so I could see from midfield instead of being a supporter's end. Not that I mind being a supporter's end. I like the different perspectives. And you look around and, you know, Luke was joking, like, I always have to educate these people on all the traditions and stuff like that, because a lot of times there's no regulars who sit here. But I thought whether they're regulars or not, the crowd was really reactive in section 112 or 13, wherever I was. A lot of standing up on big moments, a lot of reactions. Not a lot of chanting, but hey, what can you do? You know, the chants were coming from the supporters' end, and that was working just fine. So good stuff from Dino. I think he recognizes the realistic issues that are going on. It's just a matter of how can he fix them. So, he's as tired as I am of hearing Dean Smith say, oh, well, at least we're creating chances. We just got to finish them. He's probably just as tired of saying it. He just doesn't know what else to say. So we are not done, though, on Decoding the Presser. We've got two more pressers to decode because Charlotte FC media team generously gave up two more interviews post-game with Adilson Milanda and Liel Abada. So a little bit shorter, and sweeter,
yeah,
maybe.
Let's
see what Milanda had to say, and then we'll do Abada next. What do you say?
I think we are a little bit disappointed by the result because I think we deserve probably more. We saw a good thing tonight. Obviously, we didn't score, but also we didn't concede for the fifth game in a row. So that's a good point. But yeah, a little bit disappointed because I think we should get 3 points. But no, I think the boss has to also to be proud of their effort tonight and for the last few games, because we put a lot of work on the pitch and during the training, and then we know that it will turn for us for the next games. So no, just keep playing, keep improving, and then we'll score more.
How confident are you guys as a defense right now?
No, really good, really good. We know we have a good base from the strikers, from the offensive lines. They help us a lot. So no, of course we are happy with that. But now we have to try to help them more to score more goals.
I think that's a great question about the confidence. I definitely see a big surge in confidence. What I noticed, the way I see the confidence translate when I'm watching a match, is these guys know that they're very good at protecting their goal. And so they're willing a little more to sort of be isolated and out on an island a little more. There were a couple times where Privet, you know, would take a few dribbles like, ooh, that's a dicey dribble, but he's confidently taking it. I saw the same thing from Kalina. I saw the same thing from Byrne. These guys, they know that their teammates got their back. So if they can, like I said, feel confident, even when they might be sort of in an isolated spot on the pitch, ball at their feet, and you think, you know, under normal circumstances, it'd be like, oh, shit, I better get myself out of this situation. Two guys running at me. But our defenders are very calm, cool, and collected in that situation. So that is a way that like multiple clean sheets in a row can build upon themselves, I think. And that's not a bad thing. I do wonder, I'm a little bit, you know, I'm a law of averages guy. So I'm thinking, you know, like what's more likely to break first? Is our you know, unsustainable streak of five clean sheets more willing to revert to the mean, or is our crazy inability to score goals more likely to revert to the mean? We've heard Westwood and multiple people say, once we get one or two in, they're going to start coming like the London buses all at once, you know, but that hasn't happened. So it makes me a little nervous when I say like, oh, we're relying on these clean sheets for results, because what happens if the clean sheets dry up? They're very difficult to get. And it's not normal to get five clean sheets in a row, especially in any league, especially Major League Soccer. So little concerning for me, but as far as these guys, they're confident, and I love to see it, and long may it continue.
What do you attribute to having such a good May with no goals scored on goals?
Sorry?
What do you attribute to having such a good, like, all these clean sheets in May?
The focus. I think that's the biggest thing, the focus, and then after we watch them play before, so we know how they play a little bit. And then, yeah, we have a... We have our structure, we respect it very well, I think, as I said, from the forwards, and then that's why we don't concede.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, you know, like
it's as simple as that.
A standpoint,
you scout the team,
guys,
you know what they do, you anticipate what they're going to do, and you don't let them score.
What kind of conversations do you have as a team, since I guess it's more of your strikers, wingers, midfielders that you depend more of the goals on?
No, just keep pushing, because sometimes it can happen quickly like this on one action or something like that. So just be ready for when there is an opportunity to put it on. So no, I think just keep pushing, and we have to try to help us as much as we can on like corner or free kicks, because there is also a big part on that kind of game, and we can also score from that part.
Translation, if you stay ready, you never have to get ready.
In this stretch, got a good amount of points, you know. How important is that going into this next period where, you know, you're going to be traveling a lot?
It's really important, because if we want to make our points at home better, we have to put strong game away also. So, no, I think we'll be even more focused because we know we need to get more wins away from home. But now we are confident, and we will go to New York to win. Thank you.
We go to New York to win. I like the sound of that. It's going to be midweek madness. Can't wait for Wednesday already here as I sit and record this episode on a Sunday. Looking forward to talking about that and everything going on for sure. I like Adilson Milan. I just love to hear him talk. I love his accent. It's not the biggest deal, but you can tell his English speaking ability has drastically improved, even from the start of this season, especially compared to last season. And I don't really care what language you speak, but I only know English, so it's nice to be able to listen in a language that I understand. I appreciate all the work he's done, because I actually took French in high school for 4 years and barely remember any of it, unfortunately. But I do love his accent, and I love the way he pronounces certain words, especially the word focus. We got one more for you. We're not done here. Let's keep decoding, right? We're having a good time. We're having fun. Are you having fun? I'm having fun. So let's keep it going with Liel Abada. One last ride with him. And interested to hear what he's got to say, because he finally got back. I'm sure he's going to talk about his injury, but let's just let him talk instead of me trying
to. It's a bit tight in my quad, but now I feel better. I work hard with the Yeah, I had injury a little bit tight in my quad, but now I feel better. I work hard with the physio, and now I feel much better.
How hard was it to watch the team and know they need goals and not be able to contribute?
Yeah, you know, but the positive things that we got again, clean sheet. But yeah, we need to be more focused in the third position, and hopefully it will come. If we will keep going and we will get chances. And I'm sure the goals will come soon.
We keep hearing it. I'm sure the goals will come soon. I'm sure the goals will come soon. I'm sure the goals will come soon. Well, hey, let's how about the goals?
Yeah, sure.
Come?
Every time I want to do my best for the team and help for the team to get 3 points and to achieve our target. And hopefully I can be for myself more and more now after I'm back from my injury. And I said if we will keep forward and we will get chances, like tonight and the couple last games, and I'm sure the goals will come soon.
You've been around the squad now for a while, even though you've been injured. What are you noticing from this team so far?
So, yeah, from game to game, we learn each other more and more. And but, yeah, we try to play football. We try to get a lot of chances to play attack football. And, yeah, we have a really good team. And I'm sure we will get more points in the next games.
How did it feel to have
I mean, he's very confident. He is very confident that it's all going to work itself out, which I'm not certain I share that confidence, but what can I do about it, right? So what I do think is important to note, though, is that Liel Abada did have the very best chance of the game, in my opinion. He unfortunately just didn't place it quite in the right spot, but he put a wicked left footer on a nice late counterattack that would have absolutely sent the Fortress into a frenzy. Didn't come off, unfortunately. But I like the idea of Abada being out there. He provides a lot of threat. And now, like, I don't think him and Capetti were working well together back when he had first joined the team. So I think the idea of Abada, Patrick Vargas, I'd have to look it up. But I wonder how many minutes we've actually had Abada, Ajimong, Vargas, all three on the pitch together. I think it's a low number, extremely low number. So watch out, Red Bulls. Watch out, Atlanta United. We're coming for you. And we're finally at full strength now with Ben Bender also rejoining the squad. And it could be that flood of London buses like Westwood likes to talk about.
Ty Barabal. Ah, yeah, me and Ty are really good friends. And we know each other from Maccabi Petach Tikva, from the first team I played. And we played together. And it was nice to see him. And that's it.
Had you talked with him before coming to MLS and Charlotte and just about his experience here?
Yeah, I spoke with him, and I just heard his advice, and they said to me it's really good league, and so many young players here, and a lot of good players, and I spoke with him before I came here.
How did you feel?
That's an interesting question there, the interesting line of questioning. To Liel about his countryman, a fellow Israeli, Ty Barabo, who's like a backup forward for Philadelphia Union, was on the bench last night, but has only played two appearances this season, and I think he's got less than 20 total minutes on the MLS season. I think Abada has more minutes than Ty Barabo, so, Ty, I think, is a young guy. He might have a future in this league, but Liel Abada is the present in this league right now, and hopefully.
About your performance, I know you had the goal and then a couple games. Yeah. Maybe didn't contribute as much. Did you feel like, was that disappointing? Do you feel like you're pushing too much, than to have this setback with the injury?
No, I feel good, to be honest. Sometimes in the football, you score, but sometimes no. Sometimes you get good results and sometimes no. And the most important is just to keep forward, and I'm sure the things will come soon.
And do you feel like you're getting to know your teammates even in practice, just being able to learn them a little bit?
Yeah, 100%. I arrived a long time ago, but I got injuries, so it was break a little bit. But I know the team, I know the players. We know each other. We play for each other, and hopefully, I said the next game we will get 3 points.
You kind of have one target man right now with Patrick Ajimong. What's that relationship like? To try to continue to build chemistry in that final third.
Yeah, we have good relationship with all the attacking players, and. From training to training, we learn so much about each other. So I said, I'm sure it will come. And that's it.
So there you have it. There's Liel Abada. Just nothing profound necessarily, but you do like what I like when I listen to that is you get the idea that much like Dean Smith, really, and much like the a lot of pro athletes and pro coaches, is doesn't seem to get too high or too low. He's very even keel young man. I think that's cool. I think that's helpful when things are going like when we're in this situation as Charlotte FC fans of the glass is half empty, the glass is half full, etc. It's nice to know that like the players can sort of ride that out, not get too high and too low. They've got a very similar thing going. So it's pretty cool that this club is moving in the right direction. We are getting positive points. I hope I wasn't too negative as I wrap this up here. To say that, these lack of scoring is not really working for me anymore. I think a lot of fans feel the same way. It's tough to get super excited about clean sheets because they're such a rarity that you never know when or where that ability to stop shots might dry up. And, if Kalina doesn't make a wonder save last night early in the game, it's a totally different match, and Philly's, you know, coming after us on the attack. So that is Decoding the Presser. That's your post-game report for now on Charlotte Soccer Show. We've been trying. It's so funny. John Hayes and I, we have not done an episode together in a few weeks now, and it's like I miss my boy Johnny. We just timing hasn't worked out, so he's been bringing in guests. I've been bringing in guests, and we eventually will be back on the channel together. I want to thank everyone who's kind of reached out to me and be like, are you and John going to ever do an episode together again? I'm like, yes, I promise we are. Hopefully very, very soon. Maybe as soon as this week. Who knows? But we love you all. Thanks, everyone, for supporting these efforts. We just love to bring you the stories of this club. And need to get back to the bar soon, for sure, and do a bar episode. Like, I love doing these episodes from the home studio, which has been redesigned, if you're watching on YouTube and you can see behind me. But I love being on the location. I love doing the episodes where it's like me and John are sitting in the bar talking football, and it's like the listeners sitting there right next to us and just sipping on a beer, enjoying the conversation. So we plan for that to be happening again very soon. Thanks for those who keep sticking with us through a time where schedules are not quite matching up. But once and for all, it is for the crown, baby.